tonight we'll be in resisting the enemy, still in Ephesians 6:13, moving along verse by verse. That's what we do. God's armor, and it's always, I think, fun to learn about the enemy. We need to know how to defend and how to fight. So, or how to let God, how to allow God to fight on our behalf, I should say. And that's what we'll talk about. So before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And that for us simply means we can confess our sins and acknowledge our faults, our sins before God the Father. And we are then cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to allow the Holy Spirit to not only to learn and grow, but also to apply the Word. So let's pray. Dear Father, we are just always amazed by your plan and seeing it work out. We're thankful to have a perfect God that has a perfect plan. And we know that we're all under your timetable, and we thank you for that, because we know that without that, we wouldn't have any security or anything to have faith in. But we know we do, because we know you are truth, and our life is reflected around that. And we thank you for all these things that you are able to do for us. And also, we ask for clarity tonight in the Word, and just thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So God's armor, resisting the enemy. And if you remember on Sunday, we looked at some of the schemes of the devil. That was a good word. We saw that he had a very systematic way of doing things. He was very methodic. He thought about things very well before he actually put them into play. You don't really think about Satan in that way, but that's the way the word schemes is used in the Greek. It's very, very detailed when it comes to how he plans and how he does things, a lot more detailed than we are. And, you know, we try to cover the details when it goes to planning. And you may have gotten pretty good at planning by now when it comes to parties or get-togethers, but there's usually something that is left out or not organized in a way that you should, or you didn't plan for. Well, Satan's gotten to the point where he can cover a lot of territory and a lot of ground because he's been around a lot longer than we have. So he knows what works and what doesn't work. And part of that means that it doesn't mean that we, it means we have to be on our toes. It means that we have to be consistent in our spiritual growth. And it means that we also have to fully rely on the power of God to defend ourselves against this, because there's no other way to do it. It's just an impossibility. And I think we can see that. We also looked at Satan had plenty of help. So you can see that we're definitely outnumbered. It's not just Satan. It's all the fallen angels that are with him. And they have the same goal, the same purposes, which is all associated with God and his word, truth. That's what we live our life by the way. That's what we stand for. That's what allows us to glorify God. It's what allows us to be in the plan of God, is truth. Truth is the basis for everything that we know as good. Now, when you think about the opposite of that, that's not a good thing, and it's actually outside of the plan of God and actually against God. So we got to be really careful when it comes to what we believe and how we interpret the world around us, because it gets very kind of challenging sometimes when you don't have any truth. When you look through the lens of, there's not enough there in your soul, and you try to interpret these things the world is feeding you, our interpretation skills aren't the greatest, and we tend to believe maybe what we see or interpret in a way that isn't aligned, or maybe you wouldn't see otherwise if you had the truth. And that goes back to what we're doing right now. right? That's important. It's a day by day thing, and I think it gives us discernment. And that's the big deal that Satan hates, by the way. He hates discernment. He hates for you to see through his ways, because that's the only way he can get stuff past you, is if he can slide it under you, if he can clothe it, paint it, decorate it, dress it. Everything that Satan does, it will be just to get it past and through to the other side, because once it becomes, you know, believable, well, then that's half the battle right there, because then it becomes a part of our thinking. And so once you got have these things in your thinking, it becomes a part of who you are. That's you. Remember, what we believe and what we don't believe, what we stand for or what we may not know to stand for, is who we are. So the fact that, you know, just take a look at our country, the fact that there's so many people that are believing the false, believing the lies that we see, simply should tell us, not necessarily there's anything wrong with the person, they're a human being, they have a soul, but they're lacking the truth. They're lacking the consistent intake of the word, and it's a direct reflection on their spiritual life. But we can't forget that we choose that. So that's a choice that we all make to be here, right? To show up and to keep learning. And even though Satan is hell-bent on destroying lives by keeping us distracted, we did talk about God is one step ahead, in charge, and actually controlling everything, even the details that Satan tries to pull over our eyes. So, you know, that's a very comforting thing, because when you're talking about Satan, a lot of people get fearful when you speak about evil, about things, you know, that we can be associated with people that may be evil. Maybe they're demon possessed or demon influenced. You know, we don't always know these things, but you know, a lot of people have a tendency to get scared or have that fear creep in, because of evil has a certain power to it that our world has given it. And the only power that I see being given to it is what the Bible tells us about it. And so there's a lot more that goes into that, I think, that we, you know, give Satan credit for that he doesn't need credit for. And one of those things is being in control. He's definitely not that. And even though, remember, that's his goal, though. He wants to be like the Most High. So he does want to be in control. And, you know, just like anyone else that wants to be in control, what do they do to get there? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If it's in a company, they'll cut your throat to get to the top. They don't really care necessarily about friends, about family. It's just about that end goal. It's not about who you know or who you work with or, you know, how close to you they are. It's about that goal. That's the priority, and that's where Satan is. It's not concerned about the fallen angels. I'm sure he's happy that they all came with him, because he's convinced them and lied to them as well, and he has help in that aspect. But at the end of the day, it's a cutthroat kind of lifestyle. So what's good for him one day may be not the next, and then there they go, right? So, but anyways, God, we saw that that God supersedes Satan in Joseph's life. I think that's a good, kind of a neat place to see that over the years, how he, you know, Satan tried to get rid of him. And what did God do? He pulled him all the way to the top and promoted him. It just goes to show you that God's in full control. No matter how bad, even though God allowed Joseph to be in these situations where, you know, evil brothers didn't have truth, and they thought one way and they tried to get rid of him, God allows these things to happen. He knows that we need these kind of this kind of testing, and Joseph for sure did, because what was it doing? It was preparing him for the next stages of his life, right? And that was always a neat thing to see. And that wasn't the only case, right? We see that all through Scripture. So, Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against... Did I already read this? Firm against the schemes of the devil. Making sure you're awake. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then verse 13 is where we left off. It says, because of this, or your translation might say, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So a couple things. You see the dia in parentheses that starts off with a preposition. It can be translated therefore. I think that's the way the NASB puts it. I like because of this, because actually this is referring to something, right? Because of this, it's referring to the previous verse. So it's kind of bringing all that, and it's saying because of all this, and it's saying do this. So take up the full armor of God. And we just saw what all that was, right? We saw that there was referring to Satan's evil schemes and all of the demonic soldiers to assist him in verses 11 and 12. So it's naturally logic to say, hey, now do this. Because of all that, here you go. Take up. It's a little bit different word. See that? A little bit different word than we've already seen to clothe or to put on. This is take up. So you can see the word down there. And it's analambano. It's a verb, aorist active imperative. There you go. There's your command. It means to take up in order to carry, or simply to take up, as it's translated here. But this word can also mean to make something one's own by taking it. And I like that because it makes it... It's putting it on a personal level for us. It's saying to take it as it's yours and make it a personal thing, as in use it whenever you need it. Don't ever feel like we're overusing it because it's obviously a command. And cherish it because it is a powerful thing that God has given us, but it's also very personal because it's granted to each individual believer in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a big deal. So now that this goes in line with the entire spiritual life, right? It's a very personal thing. We tend to view the spiritual life as just kind of an overview of what we have in Christ and how we're supposed to live it, but it's personal. We all are different people with different personalities, with different things going on in your lives. Problems, many times good things and bad things, adversity. There's always things going on. So in that aspect, it's very personal on when you use things and when you don't. So I think this word is good when it comes to looking not as an overview of the spiritual life, but take it personally. To take up, to actually physically take up these spiritual weapons as a volitional matter. That's the command sense that it has. So, and this is day to day. That's why I feel there's a personal sense here, because the spiritual life we live every day. And so when it comes to making choices and responsibility in the Christian life, this is one of those things right here. It's a necessary decision to take up your spiritual weapons to fight, or to be in a position to stand as we first started into this. So the aorist tense is showing us the entrance into the state. It's called the ingressive aorist, and it's showing us we are actually taking up. In other words, it's a picture of you actually putting on. In other words, you're going from one state to the new state, and now you have a lot more power in regards to the Holy Spirit and the Word combined. Remember that we kept seeing that theme there? The knowledge and the power, right? So I think there's a picture here of going through the process that we've been talking about, and now we're taking it up. And now this is all mental. Keep that in mind. Literally, keep it in your mind. It's a mental process. But the words are designed to show us, actually, give us a picture of how this happens. You know, there's a decision process that goes with this. So take up. And the command comes behind that too. So personal responsibility is the first thing that comes to mind in this verse. And that's always required, I think, from every Christian. Mainly because we have a desire. And when I say responsibility, you know, I use that word a lot. I do. And I think it's an important word. But there's a tendency to get a negative connotation behind it, or kind of a negative meaning, maybe, I could say. But that's not how we should be taking it. I mean, I'm kind of maybe mean that to the audience outside of the room, right? I realize that you know there's a responsibility. You know there's repercussions to good and bad decisions. And you know there's a responsibility to grow spiritually. For us, the responsibility more is a motivation to do what we love and what we desire to do. See, it changes. It's not a negative thing. It changes from maybe a responsibility of something you have to do to a desire to want to do there. And there's the fear there, a healthy fear of God, right? And that's a response. I guess you could call it a response, a responsibility of your to your response. But I just don't want you to get, you know, the negative aspect of the responsibility, because that's really a good thing. Because when you have that responsibility, or you feel drawn to God, most of you, if you're way past this, I have to do this, to I want to do this. And that's, I think, you've kind of moved beyond the responsibility. It's just part of you. It's who you are. And it's something you know you need, because without it, we're done, right? We can't fulfill God's plan for our lives. So, and part of that's, I think, growing and coming to love the God whom we serve. So, and this is no different right here. There should be a desire. We should want to know what he's speaking about. And we should have a desire to get in this place, to take up. So there's an eagerness, I think, from all of us, or at least from all positive believers who want to know and want to see and want to learn. That's a good thing. So, yes, you are a believer in Jesus Christ. We understand that. But we still have to follow God's commands if we ever actually want to live the spiritual life that he desires. That's easy, yet it's so profound, because I think that's why there's a lot of confusion in living the spiritual life as a Christian. It's this point right here, because people are too busy, too distracted to actually follow God's word in the details like we do. It's really a simple thing, a simple concept, but it requires growth. And there's not a lot of people that have time, or that even necessarily care about or concerned about. And see, that here's where Satan comes into this. If he can get you to think that that's not an important thing, he will, and he does. Remember what I told you, Satan really hates his consistency. He hates consistency because things get rooted into your brain. And then all of a sudden, oh, now you're starting to think it. And now you're starting to do it. Your life reflects that consistency. And Satan doesn't like that. Because, you know, it's really hard to persuade someone away from something that you believe in, or that you've seen the dots connected in the logic of God's word, and you know why you believe it as well. Not just because I believe it. This is why we do what we do. Because we are convicted. And we're going to look at that word later. And a conviction is something that is so a part of you that you're able to make a stand on it. It's something that is very powerful, and it's not something worth backing down for, because there's no reason to back down. And Satan comes, when he comes up against that, what does he have? No power. The power that he has now is only because we give that to him. We allow him to do whatever he does to come in. And, you know, sometimes it's very subtle, but the concept's still the same. We still allow him to advance step by step. Wherever he goes, we still give him that step. See how the control is not really in Satan's realm. It's in your realm. That's what God has given us the ability to do. And I'm not trying to say that we are responsible, but I am telling you that there is a volition that you have about allowing God to work in your life. So that's pretty amazing. That's grace, you know, that Satan doesn't have any power unless we give it to him. So don't think just because we're a believer that all these things, the details comes naturally, because Satan would love for you to think that. He would love for you to think, think about it. We're talking about God's spiritual weaponry. We're in an important part right now. We're in a part that Satan is kind of the focal point right now. Probably one that he doesn't necessarily like, because we don't always talk about evil and Satan and how to defend against it, even though you realize that we are given that capability to be better and better at as we grow. But we don't specifically talk about these things. So it's so important. And we are commanded, remember, first we're commanded to put on or clothe ourselves with the full armor of God. And now we have a second command. That was the first one. And now it says, take up the full armor of God. So what this tells me is there's some urgency here. There's something here. If we're getting told the same thing twice, but just in a different way, not only put the clothes on, but take it up. I mean, pick it up physically, make it personal, make a decision. It's almost like a recruiting or a calling that God is trying to get us to raise up and realize that there's a fight, there's a battle, and Satan's not stopping. Can you imagine angels sleeping? Probably not, right? We do. So we have to be the ones to take up and begin to play in this warfare, or it's not a game, right? It's real life. So we see clothe and then take up. So that's urgency. It's kind of, we saw the banner in the hallway and it drew us to it, and here it is. It's calling us in. Two commands. Both having what? What do they both have in common? The armor of God. Which is why I think that this is critical for us, so we can see what this verse is telling us. It says, well, it's speaking about what? The evil day. The evil day. That's why it's so critical. I think we're kind of, God protects us, every one of us, every believer in Jesus Christ. We know that there is a lot of evil in the world, but God protects the believer where we aren't necessarily exposed to some of the stuff that people are exposed to when it comes to Satan and evil. God protects you. I know we've all been around this at times with certain people, but God protects you in every situation. And exposure to that is an important part, but that doesn't diminish or mean any less that it's out there than what the verse is telling us. It's saying the day is evil. Not only was it in Paul's day, but it's also in our day. And I don't think we have the numbers on our side, but that really doesn't matter. I'm just telling you that the day is evil and the numbers are high that are on the evil side. So now here we see Yep. So that, you see, so that, I underlined it. What this is showing, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, what this is showing is purpose. So here you go. Here's the purpose of why we should put on the full armor of God, so that, or you could say, for the purpose of, right here, resist, to resist. To resist in the evil day, so that you will be able to resist. And guess what be able here is? You will be able. Look at that, dunamai. We just saw that word. I think that's how we started, didn't we? In the power of God. That's how we started these verses. We should all, that's the power that we've been discussing. So, to have power or to be able or to be capable, you could say, to do something, that was in verse 11. That was our introduction to that, which said, let's read it. Same word right there. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able. That means to have power, dunamai, to be capable of doing something, to be able to fight or to be able to stand or to be able to resist. Everything is going around this dunamai, dynamite, right? Power. It's where we get the word. So that's, to me, when I think of dynamite, it's strong. You know, it'd probably blow us all up if we had to set it off in here. It'd be kind of fun to try, wouldn't it? Not in here. Pat would probably do it with me, but let's make sure we get everybody out of the building first. So we don't want to blow our church up. So verse 11, you see, so the power or being able is important. It's an important thing. We don't think about, okay, I'm capable, I'm able, is that important? But it is when it comes to being in the conflict or on the battlefield. It's very important. You don't want someone that's not able. Have you ever seen someone that's not able to perform a role in a job? They're in a job, but they're not able. They shouldn't be there. That's not a good place to be, really. I mean, they shouldn't want to be there either, right? Because you kind of set yourself up for failure. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. If we're not able, if we don't have the power that God gives us, we don't even need to step out on the battlefield. So, and at this point, I think you understand that, or should relate being able to something that is given to us by God and not something that we can reproduce on our own. That we kind of covered that, right? Covered that ground. Because we all know we're limited in our capability. So thank God that He gives us this through the Holy Spirit. Now, that point in itself, being able, is not only important, but it should be a point of application for us. Because in the context here, what is it saying? Well, there's obviously an issue here. Paul is why he's bringing this up. There's an issue of succumbing to these lies, to these schemes, to all these not resisting. There's an issue here in the Ephesian believers. This is the church, right? Just like we are. And there's an issue here because not only is Satan going to pay us attention, he may pay us more attention because he wants to take you out more than the guy that's already out. Do you see what I mean? There's a focus here that evolves around believers and even more so around believers that are growing. And for good reason. If you've ever been around or know someone who has peeled off the faith, or gotten sidetracked, or something in life happened to them that made them think that it was God's fault and they turned the other way, or you name it. Whatever the case may be, they were deceived and they got off track. See, if Satan can knock that consistency out of your life, he will. And the sad part is it gets even harder and harder to recognize as you grow spiritually. So just because we're saying, I'm never going to stop. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things to distract, deceive, and remove that consistency. And now I'm talking about down to 30 minutes at a time. That's how Satan works. I mean, I've come to the conclusion that if he can draw me away for an hour, you know, yes, it's our fault, but guess what that hour, you know, you ever go through your day and if you could collect all that time back, how much time would that be? A lot. We're human. I'm not, you know, we weren't born yesterday, right? But if we could collect all that time we wasted, and recoup that and make it useful, can you imagine? But Satan wants to, you know, grow on that portion of uselessness in our time. That's the part he wants to expand on. And it becomes down to the minutia of your day. So just be careful is all I'm telling you, because, you know, it's things that we don't necessarily think about until you kind of backtrack. You go, golly, I lost an hour there. Just gone like that. Well, what happened? That's consistency. That's part of that consistency. And I know I can work on it, and I know everybody else here can work on it. But it's just something to keep in mind. I'm not saying don't take a break, right? We all need breaks. We all need downtime. You kick your feet up, take a nap, go have fun, whatever. But there's a certain place and there's a certain time for everything. And when you come to the Christian life, I'm really referring to your thinking. You know, you can be on guard and be taking a break. You can be resisting and not necessarily doing anything productive. When we're talking about spiritual warfare, we have to think mental. Mental. This is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual fight. Now, what being prepared or being able is, and not necessarily doing anything productive means, is that you're in the plan of God. And when you're maybe on vacation and you are in a able or have the power state, guess what that means? Satan has a hard time tripping you up versus you not being. See, we get sidetracked very easily is all I'm saying. When we're lying on ourselves and going through life, lee-dee-da-dee-da. It's what Satan likes. So we got to be able to resist. This is an important word. This word be able here is an aorist, passive, subjunctive. Some things should be coming to your mind. So I think the aorist tense here is viewing the action as a whole. Passive voice is saying that you receive the action of God gives you the power. And then it says, so take up the full armor of God to be able. Okay, we understand that part. No problem there. But then you have the subjunctive mood. Immediately, you should be thinking volition, choice. Subjunctive mood means we've got a decision to make here. That's why the subjunctive is here. Which means what? There's some contingency here. There's some doubt here. Not on God's side, on the man-word side here. Mankind, there's something that, you know, we have that decision to make. In other words, maybe you will and maybe you won't be able. Does that mean that God's just going to maybe take it or not, maybe give it one? No, it means that we have a choice. That's why the subjunctive mood is here, because it boils down to the individual Christian, whether he's able or she's able or not. And I'm telling you that God tells us one thing. He means that one thing. He's not going to say, I'm wishy-washy. The wishy-washiness, as you know, comes on our side. And so when I see subjunctive mood, I think, okay, we could be wishy-washy right here. This is one of those things where we could not be capable or not be able, we could say. So, this requires a decision on the believer's part to follow the command of what came before here. To take up the full armor of God so that you will be able. You've got to be able. And remember, we haven't really gotten into the armor yet. We're going to get in it. Remember, the verses lay it all out, right, of what this looks like. But it's just kind of preparing us for what's coming. So we want to be able, that's for sure, but we have to follow the procedure here. Which means for us, what? Well, if we're going to follow the command to take up the full armor of God, Christians need to grow in grace and knowledge. Because as you'll see, one of the things that this starts off with is truth. The armor starts off with truth. So to me, putting on the full armor of God definitely consists of growth, Christian growth. And part of growing means to have the humility to stay teachable and to be able to follow commands of God's word. Why is that such an issue in our society? It's not a bad thing to follow an eternal authority that knows best for us. It's okay because it's for our own good. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you know what I mean? We should want to do these things. We should have a desire because we know God wants the best for us. So we know that there's good on the other side of this. There's love on the other side of this command, without a doubt. Because so many Christians skip this part. And what happens, they get distracted by what they can do, by what they can say, by their works, or this or that and the other, but they miss the entire point. We just need to follow the commands. I said this is a conflict between what? Light and darkness. Light and darkness, which puts the focus on your volition. Your volition. That's where it's at. And we'll continually see that as we go through this. You know, many religions don't like talking about responsibility of the Christian because it means people have to do something. It means you have to do something. And a lot of people just don't necessarily want to get out of their comfort zone, or it offends them that they have to do something. And we need to realize that this is not the case here. But, if we didn't talk about Christian responsibility, what does that mean? That's what Satan wants. He wants us to think that this isn't a responsibility. He wants us to think I can do things on my own without following the word of God. Doesn't he? Yes. Because there's a way, there's a certain way, there's a very particular way that God wants us to do it. So, all this to say is that every person, and now I'm referring to both believer and unbeliever, has a responsibility. Has a responsibility. God has given us something called volition, and He's given us the ability to choose our own destiny. And that is no joke. He has given you the ability to choose where you want to go and how you want to get there. Now, isn't that grace? He's given us the ability to choose for Him or against Him in every case. And part of that means we've got to stop blaming other people. It's not our parents' fault. It's not the brother's sister's fault. It's not our friend's fault. It's an individual thing. This goes back to being an individual and making personal responsible decisions. We choose our own destiny. Think about that. When it comes to being happy on this earth, that's a personal responsibility. When it comes to handling blessings, when it comes to handling divine testing, and even divine discipline when it comes to these things, God has graciously allowed every single person to choose for or against His word. So when we find ourselves miserable, frustrated, in a state of not being very happy, we can't blame anybody else but ourselves. And I'm applying that to me. I'm a human being just like you are. I have to make decisions just like you do. But we just need to know that, because when I talk about responsibility, we can't immediately look to, say, other people. We have a tendency to do that in our brain. When I say there's a command that we need to follow, it applies to you and not to your wife or husband or daughter or child. Well, it's your responsibility to instill these things in them, right? To some extent, but you get the point. So you think about this Christian responsibility. God has actually given you the ability all the way from believing in Christ to growing through maturity, getting blessings, glorifying Him, and just keep on going. Keep going, right? He's allowed you to do that the whole way through. And so what happens when anyone chooses not to follow the best path that God has given them? Well, and guess what? This is the best path that He lovingly has designed individually for each person. Then we have to take responsibility for our own decisions on why we're not on board with that. And that, you know, that can be very painful in life. Because God always tries to get our attention in some way or another, right? But look what we do when He tries to get our attention. We blame other things for the pain, don't we? Times are rough because of we don't have any money, because of I have all these health issues, because of. Why don't we just start taking responsibility for the decisions that we make and realize that God is in charge? And He's given us the ability to choose whether we are happy in whatever situation we find ourselves in. See, it's not really about circumstance. We know that. It's about whether we're content in where we are with what we have. And that's what you've been given. I think that's what we all desire, and that's what we all have. That's why we're here. That's the power of God's Word in working in your soul. So thank God that He's given us that. But you know, I feel like everyone has to start perking up to being unsatisfied, you know, unfulfilled, discontent. I'm talking about people everywhere. There's a reason for that. It's because of an individual decision that people have made, and we're in that decision-making process just like everybody else is. So when we say we're not happy or something is wrong or we're under severe discipline in this life, we need to question not anybody else but ourselves. That's it. That's it. So now when we relate all that to this verse, you know, it requires you to make a decision to be strong, to put on the armor, to take up the armor, and to stand. That's what all these words are saying here. And guess what? God provides everything that we need to be able to do this. So there's no excuses there either. It's not like He says, do all this, and then He says, you know, you got a whole bunch of stuff. You got to get in shape before you can even do any of this. No, He's saying, I've provided it. I've given it to you. You just have to choose to do it. That's it. So, you know, we can be talking about anything. We could be talking about being successful or not being successful. Same thing. Same exact thing. Being happy, not being happy. Being able to stand firm. Let's apply it to our verse. Or not being able to stand firm. Being able to see through the schemes of the devil, or not being able to see through the schemes of the devil. And of course, you know, that has major repercussions in our own personal lives. Because remember, Satan's in it for himself, not for you. He'll use you, but he's definitely not in it for your benefit. So, these are important things. Now, is there really a difference in these two applications that I said, all these different applications? Not really. Happy, successful, or recognizing the schemes of the devil. Not really. Application may be a slightly different, but guess what? It all goes back to the same thing. Remaining consistent. This is truth in your soul and making right decisions based on that truth. God is going to walk you through life if you do that. He's not going to hang you out to dry if you're following His plan. That's not the God that I know. That's not the God of this Bible, of His own word. So let's look at this word resist here. There it is. It's anthistemi is the word. It's a verb, aorist, active, infinitive. It's usually translated, you can see there, to set against or withstand. I think both of these actually apply here. You know, we can look at these in different ways, to set against or withstand. You notice there's two words in this word in green, the Greek word. You see the word anti. That means oppose or against. And then you have the word histemi, to stand. That word we've actually already seen, the second word of this compound word. So you have to stand literally against or withstand. It's a little bit toned down, right? But to stand against is literally what this word means. So what is this telling me? It means that we are holding a 180-degree position from Satan in our stance, in our position on what we stand for and what we believe in. 180 degrees, contrary to what Satan stands for and what you and I stand for. This is what making a stand, standing against, means. Which means this isn't for the weak Christian. Not for the weak Christian. Not at all. You know, you have to be, this is where the conviction is coming in, right here, what I talked about earlier. I feel like we're all convicted in this room. We are convicted, and if we can't get it face to face, we're going to get it somewhere else. Because we are convinced. And we are convinced because the Word of God is that real in our lives. We know it's necessary. It's not a question anymore. It used to be a question. Is this necessary or do I need to do this much? It's those things that we've moved past that because you're convicted. Part of that. Part of conviction means you have a refusal to move from a position. That's in this word too. A refusal to move from a position. That's where set against comes in. You hold your ground because you are convicted by God's word and you aren't easily moved from that position. You aren't moved. So, you're fully opposed, you could say. There's no giving up. There's no letting go. This same word was actually a military term in classical Greek, and it meant to strongly resist an opponent, to take a firm stand against. So you get the idea. We're talking about warfare. Paul's using military terms, and for good reason. I mean, he's talking to Christian warriors. Soldiers that he needs to be able to stand and recognize what's going on. So he's using these words on purpose because, you know, at that time they knew exactly what he was referring to. So, and in our case, the only way you are going to be firm in your stance in the Lord and in opposition to Satan is through what we just talked about. Being consistent and firm in your progressive sanctification, in your spiritual growth, that is rooting an anchor in your stance, in your conviction, in who you are, what you do, and why you do it. We should all be confident in the way we live, the Christian way of life. And that confidence comes from the Word. God gives you that confidence because when you live your life based on truth, the only thing you can be is confident. I mean, that's what truth does, because when you're living a life that is designed to be a perfect life, even though we're not perfect, but we can live based on the Word of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's something to say about that. So consistency and firm in your spiritual growth. And from that, I think we become very convicted and very confident about what we believe in, and also just being able to be consistent to make application to resist and resist Satan's influence in our lives. That's conviction. And that's, I feel like that's what God is looking for in these verses. He's looking for that conviction. You know, there's not really a lot of convicted Christians out there. There's not. There's maybe the dedicated Christians by appearance, but this is all referring to a warfare that is mental and it takes dedication. When I think of conviction like this, to be able to withstand or set your thinking against evil, that takes faithfulness. It takes dedication. It takes realizing why we're on this earth and we're very limited in time. It takes remembering these things, and it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy life, but it does mean that we have to always remember that we're 24/7 Christian service. That should become more and more real to us in our lives, whether it's in your house, when sometimes we feel like we can relax and not necessarily, you know, get in that mindset. Because Satan has an easy back door to us in our house. Comes through your cell phone, comes through your computers, comes through your TV, it comes through your radio. Wherever he can get in, he will. And when we're down and relaxing and not able, as the verse says, to be in that capable state, to, you know, prepared to absorb whatever we're hearing, well, then what kind of decision happens after it goes in here? It may be the wrong one. And that is not where we want to be. We want to set ourselves against. So we are perked up and we can hear and we can respond to that appropriately and applicationally in God's word. So I think that's a good place to stop. And we'll continue to get this through this verse. It says, in the evil day, you can imagine what that is about. And then having done everything to stand firm. And that's refreshing. That's the refreshing part of this. Because if we do our part, just the simple responsibility that God gives us to make right decisions, you have done everything to stand firm. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We know that this life is very limited and we are heaven bound, and we're thankful for it. And we just pray that we can serve you in a way that glorifies you, in a way that fully and completely stands against evil and Satan's thinking. And we're so thankful and grateful for Jesus Christ and for the ability to simply believe by faith in Jesus Christ and have everything that we've talked about be given to us and have access to you in a personal relationship with Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.